107 FM Talk 106.5 and Bobio Mornings. Sean Sullivan, Dalton Orwig.
Right here.
Staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams. Kane with traffic and joining the crew, our buddy John Sharp from AL.com. And a lot to talk about. John, thanks for being here.
Yeah, Sean, thanks for inviting me in the morning.
Yeah, this is usually, if y'all know, John joins in midday a bunch, but a couple things. Number one thing that I've called John in, you can go check out his story at AL.com reporting on yesterday's meeting with Mobile officials and examining the police policies. But I can't miss this opportunity because I got you right there and I got Dalton right there. And when it comes to the world of college football, I definitely defer to both of y'all. And we kind of had a little off-air discussion there about the Big Ten here. We've talked about this morning going to conference-only play. Your team's a Big Ten team.
Yeah, that's correct. I'm not entirely surprised by this, and I fear that it could be the beginning of more potential cancellations. Let's hope not, but... the non-conference schedule is off the slate this year, it appears, and that involves the games in late August and through September. And so, just wait and see if this is the beginning of more to come.
Now, John, I know that Senator Chuck Grassley from Iowa, he seemed pretty upset by the Big Ten's decision yesterday, upset that his rivalry game between Iowa and his school aren't playing. You there in line with Chuck Grassley, or you all right with this?
Well, that's a very passionate rivalry up there, and that's it's been going on. I think the game's lasted for over 40 years. There's some of us that are no longer in Iowa. We're not around that rivalry year after year. We'd like to see Iowa play. I'd like to see them play an SEC team in their non-conference or me personally. So, but that Iowa-Iowa State game is such a passionate rivalry up there. So, they don't want to take it off the schedule. But for this year, it's not on the schedule. I don't particularly share the passions of Senator Grassley on that one, but... it is disappointing, though, that, three or four games are, nipped off right away off the schedule. So hopefully, like I said, this is kind of a preview of things to come.
Yeah, having both of y'all to talk about this with, do you think a shortened schedule, if it's 10 games or maybe 8 or whatever, does that make the attention for each individual game more? Or do you think because it's not the full, robust schedule of each year that college football loses eyeballs or ears?
I don't think they'll lose eyeballs. I think more people will be tuning in to whatever sports are played this year, not just college football. But if there's only 8 games and it's all conference or 10 games and it's all conference, they are going to pull in some big numbers, I would imagine.
John, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I agree with Dalton. And let's just use baseball, for example. I'm on Twitter this morning, and the St. Louis Cardinals Twitter page pops up, and people are screaming about wanting to see the St. Louis Cardinals interleague or inter-squad practice game streamed live on online. I mean, they're just like, do this, please, give us something. So yeah, if you're getting that for a baseball game with no fans in attendance that doesn't even mean anything, I think you're going to see that. college football ratings are going to explode through the roof, and every game will be important. I mean, and there's no cream puff to warm up on this year, at least in the Big Ten, and I suspect, other conferences will probably follow suit.
Yeah, I'm hearing the SEC, every team will open their season against Vanderbilt, so they can still have that first game against the cream puff.
Well, but Dalton, you brought it up earlier. This is a big deal you point out specifically like South, but South and many other teams have been paid big money to go play these out-of-conference games.
Yeah, these smaller schools that expect to go to whatever SEC school or Big Ten school and lose 52-10. they might lose those games, but they win in the amount of money that they make in those games. So hopefully the commissioners at large will be able to push those games back and not completely take them off of their future schedules.
Yeah, that would be nice. We won't have that epic Appalachian State upset this year.
Right.
As a result of this.
Mark says on the text line, he said, reading between the lines, my prediction is that the Power Five conferences will follow the Ivy League and that we will not see football until 2021. Mark says, you heard it first right here. So,
all the CDs, all the local leaders have to do is say, hey, they're frustrated over people not following the basic CDC guidelines. Just say, here's your football season. It's up in the air now. I mean, that's all they have to do.
You're saying that maybe there's going to be more PSA. Well, Governor Ivey said it in one of her comments or something. If you want football, then you'll wear a mask or something like that.
Yeah, that's been said for a while now, that that was kind of the rallying cry to get people to wear masks. Didn't work, but it was a good idea.
All right, let's do this. So we'll go. You know what? We'll have to have you back here another week or two when the next, you know, set of announcements. Maybe we'll keep this going until the start of football, whenever that is. The two of y'all on with us and talking about this. All right, John, I want to shift gears here into your story over at AL.com. And this is, I saw the notice for this meeting. It was posted, and you know, some of the rules around it. But I did not get the get to watch it. Did not get the information until I read your story about the. Okay, MPD, tell us what happened. MPD was there to report on their policies and procedures, or what exactly was the reason for yesterday's event?
No, yesterday was more or less what you would call a public hearing. It was an opportunity. The full city council met. Usually these type of meetings that occur in later in the afternoon during the week, that's not on a Tuesday when the regular council meets, is usually what we call a committee meeting, and there'll be like three council members, and they'll allow the public to come in and provide, you know, comments, or there'll be a report given back by the city's administration on the various issues and whatnot. But this was the full city council. They met, you know, this was a big issue they felt that needed to be, addressed by the public. And it, you know, boiled down to police and community relations. And, you know, in the aftermath of what happened on Memorial Day weekend and the protests that occurred thereafter, they felt this was a time to allow the public to come in and state their viewpoints. And, you know, given the restrictions at Government Plaza, everybody has to wear a mask, and everybody was wearing a mask. The distancing and you know, the capacity inside the auditorium, it was a pretty good crowd still. We had, I didn't count the number of heads that were there, but it was, you know, I would say probably easily a dozen or more folks stood up and spoke, provided their thoughts and viewpoints. But, yeah, it was an opportunity for the public to come in and provide comments before the city council on what they felt were important issues moving forward for police and community relations.
What was it? Okay, so you're talking about that police and community relations. It didn't go down into, okay, here's the policy for this, here's the procedure for that?
It wasn't detailed at all, but there was certainly commentary by both the police chief and Public Safety Director James Barber and a dialogue back and forth with the city council as well on, you know, there's certain things that we'd like to see, what can we, there was actually a little bit of a dispute that kind of broke out in regards to body cam policies and procedures, and at one point the some council members asked, you know, suggest that maybe Chief Batiste read the policy publicly on body cams, and you know, that would, you know, it's an 8-page policy, and so that was a decision. Well, that, you know, just sit there and read it wouldn't be beneficial to anyone, and perhaps it could, you know, the important parts of that policy could be overlooked if you're just reading it word for word. And I think that's kind of the struggle going forward, because, you know, there's obviously an interest of releasing all the policies of the police department. But how do you do that? What kind of form do you present that in? Do you just put it all online and it's easily searchable, or do you just give little nuggets to the public that, you know, can't be twisted and taken out of context? And I think that's really the struggle that the police department, at least Police Chief Lawrence Batiste, expressed after the council meeting, that they're trying to wrap their heads around. They're studying right now. They're looking and seeing what other best practices are throughout the country kind of where they're at right now. And on top of that, Mayor Stimson on Tuesday announced the creation of a task force that's going to look at policies throughout the city, all city departments, including the police department, and whether or not there could be rooms for improvement there. And I'm sure issues of transparency would probably come up as well.
Well, and you, transparency is a word you would, I mean, part of me can argue that absolutely, if there's a policy of the Mobile Police Department that exists because we the people decide we will form a city and we will have taxing authority and we will form a police department, different public safety, that we should know the rules. But then I have talked to, you know, Chief Batiste and others that said what you quoted here, that it may be too Byzantine and may be too much. I don't I don't know till I see it, I guess. I mean, I understand that you don't want to have people confused and misinterpreting things, but at the same time, is it a fair thing to ask to be able to see what the policies and procedures of your police department are? I think it's a lot of gray there.
Yeah, Chief Batiste said that when he's been asked, when the department's been asked, especially recently, for particular pieces of the policies or whatever have you, that they've provided it. The council members have asked for the body cam policy. Police department provides it to them. The media comes back and asks for a certain policy or procedure. Chief Batiste says, we provided that to you. But we just don't take an entire 800-page document and plunk it down on your desk. Honestly, he's going to read that, maybe a lawyer or two. But, that's his argument. It's just like, we're just not going to print off big, massive documents and give it to the public.
Well, okay. I'm looking at some of the messages here. It's not the law. The 800 pages is the procedures. I mean, the law is posted. You can see the rules, ordinances out there. We're talking about how police deal with that, right? Or how they deal with situation A, B, and C.
Correct. Basically, in essence, I don't want to misspeak here, but it's exactly what police officers study when they go into the academy, the proper procedures of handling an arrest or pulling someone over and so on and so forth. Those are just some of the examples. And of course, the police department's own body cam policy, which was discussed, again, it was a little bit of a dispute between the council and Chief Batiste as well, as far as that needs to be released and needs to be updated and revised and discussed. And of course, Chief Batiste said that's all it's all on the table right now. They're willing to keep an open mind and move forward to how best that the public and the council wants to approach things.
Can you give me the Cliff Notes version and for the youngsters out there, the Wikipedia version of the body cam policy for Mobile? Did that get just like who can ask for it? Who can see it? When can they see it?
My understanding is it's not, there's not a one size fit all approach to that. So there is no easy Cliff Notes to it. I don't regularly cover police coverage. It'd be probably a better question to ask a TV reporter that does constantly, my understanding, there's been frustrations from some of the media for asking for body cam footage in the past, been denied, especially if there's an ongoing investigation. So those are some of the frustrations there. Like I said, Chief Batiste said he's looking at what changes can be made, whether or not the policy can be updated and revised. Body cams are fairly new. I mean, they've only been around probably for about 5 or 6 years. In policing, he even admitted himself that this is an ever-evolving technology. It's changing, and things are changing quickly in policing, as we all are well aware. So I think from my takeaway from yesterday is that they're wanting to keep an open mind and are willing to make changes, and they're willing to release a lot of information. It's just how, kind of the logistics of it all, how the step-by-step of how this is all going to be handled.
You said they were looking into different parts of city government on this. Did they set a date for another meeting going forward, or they come back with reports, anything like that?
One thing to keep in mind, I think the mayor's indicated that he's going to select members of the task force soon. I don't have an exact date on that, but the group has got a quick 90-day window to come back with recommendations. And so when that is concluded, we should... It should be interesting to see what they have to say. I mean, there's nothing legally binding. It's an advisory group, but their report will go back to the city council, and what the council does from there will be interesting. And then it'll go to the police department as well. Another side note that came up, and I didn't realize this yesterday either. It could be our next Confederate image or iconery battle in Mobile could be the patch of the police department. It's got the battle flag as part of the flags that are on the patchwork there, and Chief Batiste indicated that they want to replace that, and that you're talking over 500 police officers, two patches per uniform, three uniforms per officer, and you know, this could be a very expensive thing, the way he had indicated, but they're looking into it and should be redesigning their insignia here within the next couple of months.
So it would be a specific insignia for MPD, not taking on the Mobile logo or something like that.
That's correct, just for MPD.
All right, John, as always, I appreciate your time, and thanks for your reporting on this. There's a lot to unpack here, and you did a great job. Thank you.
All right, John, thanks.
All right, John Sharp. Always talk to him when we have issues going on inside the city government, county government as well. Check him out, AL.com. All right, coming right back. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Sean, Dalton, and you at 343-0106, 343-0106. 10 games, 12 games, no games. Seems to be part of the side discussion going on out there. You feel SEC will be 10 games?
Well, that's kind of the discussion, that they'll play possibly conference only for the SEC, and they're talking 8 games, maybe 10 games. The SEC, now, so many of the Power 5 conferences, well, there's only 5 of them, but it seems that all 4 of the conferences other than the Big Ten were kind of taken aback that the Big Ten made that statement yesterday. There wasn't much communication between the Power 5 conferences before the Big Ten said they were only playing conference only. The next ones up to bat will probably be the Pac-12 and ACC. I think the Big 12 and SEC would be the last to announce that they
ACC
would do the same thing.
ACC, wow, mm-hmm.
Now, we've talked about the cakewalk for Clemson before. Mm-hmm. If they're only playing ACC games, they may have the easiest schedule they've had in a long time. But that's kind of what it's looking like right now.
So would you have any kind of championship here? How would you decide who?
I think they would still plan to play the college football playoff because that pulls so much money. I mean, they make so much money off of those 3 games, the 2 semifinal games and the championship, that I think they would still try to play that. It would really be up to the discretion of the voters, the voters that put the teams in the top 25, but they would not be able to work off of games that are interconference games. It would be conference only to try and determine who the best teams are. So it would likely go to the champions of 4 of the 5 conferences, and whoever the weakest conference winner is of those Power 5 would be left out in the cold.
But there wouldn't be any. You couldn't have any playoff games.
Yeah, I think they could play some playoff games.
How? If they're out of conference?
Yeah, I think they would probably make a decision towards the end of the year to say, well, we'll go ahead and play the college football playoff.
Well, why is it okay then and not okay earlier in the season?
There's so much time between now and the end of November when they would have to make that decision. Think about the money we're talking about here.
I'm with you.
There are so many viewers for those college football games. And then what about bowl season as a whole?
That's what I'm saying. What does it mean for cities all over the fruited plain that have a bowl game that is a big kick in the pants in a good way to their economies?
Yeah. So crazy. Craziest 2020 season in sports ever.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right, coming right back, more of Mobile Mornings.
A36 FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Mobile Mornings on a Friday, and it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive, talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning. How are y'all?
Hey, doing great here at the FM Talk 106.5 studios, but I want to know what's going on at McConnell. What's hot on the lot?
Employee pricing. I mean, that's all I can say. And people don't realize it, and it's envisions. I looked at one yesterday for a friend of mine, for his daughter, and it's almost $10,000 off MSRP. The Terrain with employee pricing in the $3,500. I mean, these new employee pricing for all these SUVs are just incredible. Y'all need to come by here if you're looking for a car. You know, a Terrain, we figured it out yesterday, a 2020 Terrain that lists for like $32,000, you can buy it for the upper 24s with the rebates and the employee pricing. I mean, it's a deal. It is a deal. I hate saying that. You know, I'm a big used car guy, so, but the new car is where it's at right now. I mean, it really is. With the inventory the way it is, we're getting trucks in every day. The new 20s, got a new Denali coming in that's not sold, a Yukon Denali. You need to come by there and let, you know, any of the sales probably take you out and show you one or two of them, and we can just do anything we need to do for you.
All right, good stuff. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
All right, continuing our discussion here about yesterday's meeting to talk about police procedures and policies, and it is a, I think John said, 800 pages of this document, and questions about releasing or not, what might be in there. As we always try to do here, we give perspective to these stories, and we're joined by Mobile County Sheriff's Office Captain Paul Birch to help us with that. Hey, thanks for your time.
Hey, good morning, Sean.
Good morning. Okay, so the questions out there about, and you know, we're talking about MPD in that case, but you're, I mean, it's very similar, I'm sure, from the sheriff's office perspective. Policies and procedures, what does that mean? I mean, is that what y'all do in case A, B, and C? Is it, kind of describe what is in that document, or what would be in a document like that?
Well, you know, as you're aware, I was with MPD, you know, long before I was with the sheriff's office, mm-hmm. and a lot of our policies and procedures, you know, are very similar. And, you know, and I'll talk in generalities, but, you know, there are certain rules that are hard and fast, that, you know, this is what you do in this situation, especially when it comes to conduct and such.
Okay.
But, you know, I would say a large portion of those are simply guidelines because of the nature of the job. You know, every call is fluid, so you can't apply a specific rule to each and every call that an officer may respond to.
Gotcha. So with that, I mean, so some of the things in there are kind of hard and fast, but it sounds like a majority of them are just an overall guideline. Now, the one thing when I was talking to John, I was wondering too, would there be in the 800 pages, be it MPD, the Sheriff's Department, or anybody in law enforcement, would there be tactics in there? I mean, would there be tactical information?
There are certain segments of those. You know, we call ours standard operating procedures, but there are segments in there that apply to specifically to tactical operations. You know, something that we don't really want out there in the public. You know, to avoid a, you know, an ambush or mm-hmm. you know, somebody wanting to set us up, which seems to be quite common nowadays around the country. So that's one reason I don't think all of this should just be made public. You know, certainly transparency is key, and I'm a big fan of transparency, but you also have to think of the men and women, you know, working, you know, in law enforcement as well.
All right, talking with Captain Paul Birch. Paul, what about some smaller segment of it, like whether redacted or saying, okay, well, pages 1 through, and I don't know what page, but pages 1 through 20 we can put out because these things are not going to expose tactical issues or there's things that are not fluid. Do you think anything like that would, like a smaller version of it?
You know, I think really it should be done on a case-by-case basis. I say that because even, I'm sure a lot of the rules and guidelines are in place at MPD when I was there 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. But law enforcement changes every day, every month. Therefore, a new rule may come about at any given time. And, you know, and they're constantly updated. I know, you know, the sheriff has ours updated very frequently. And those are evaluated by, you know, our legal advisor and, you know, lawyers to make sure we're, you know, staying current with today's times. I'm really conflicted on whether, you know, the policies in its entirety should be made public. And it's not that we're trying to hide anything, it just, you know, I guess begs the question, you know, why does everybody want to read it? Because they are very monotonous. You know, there's a large section of it just talks about sick leave and vacation leave and you know, how to call in sick. You know, who wants to read all that?
If other departments, you know, like, because I know some of the questions yesterday were more angled at, well, they did this in Minneapolis or that in Minneapolis. How much overlap is there between department to department? I know it can vary, but is it a lot, a little, just as a general rule of thumb?
There is some overlap given, you know, instances that happen around the country. You know, but we are always, as a law enforcement community, especially, you know, in the Mobile area, you know, we're always looking at best practices that you know, to serve the men and women we work with and to serve our community. I mean, we want the best service to our community and want to make sure that, you know, officers are conducting themselves the way they're supposed to in that service.
And so with this other idea, they had the community police or the advisory board. There, didn't we have that going on at one time in the past?
There was. There always, you know, anytime there's a spark of something around the country, there's some kind of board formed that address it, and it seems to always fizzle out, you know, after time.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what happened that last one, right? I mean, that is formed and it fizzled out, and I just didn't hear about it anymore.
Exactly. You know, do you want input from, you know, various, I guess, opinions? Absolutely. But I'm not a fan of knee-jerk reactions. That just seems to be what happens a lot, you know, around the country today.
There we go. Well, giving us some perspective into this, Captain Paul Birch, thank you for your time. Thanks for being on with us.
Thanks, Sean. Have a great weekend.
You too. All right, so there you go. A little bit more perspective into maybe the why nots for releasing those documents. Coming right back. Take your calls. 343-0106. Right, 850 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings on this Friday. Glad to have you here. By the way, the online opinion poll question brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Do you plan to vote in the primary runoff elections on Tuesday? Now, the estimates are around 10% or less out there. Even the Secretary of State off record was saying, I don't expect a big, huge turnout.
Right.
But within this audience, this is why the politicos come here. 96% of y'all plan to vote on Tuesday. So good stuff.
Yeah, and I guess they sent those flyers out to say whether your polling place fit the new coronavirus protocols, which means, you know, you can't go vote in a place that's too tight, where too many people have to get close together. And I was actually driving to pick up my daughter at daycare and drove by a polling place that had this huge sign. It was a church, and it had a huge sign out in front that was like, hey, by the way, we're not voting here.
Don't come here.
Yeah, you need to find out where you're going to be voting instead. So it seems that a lot of people, make sure if you are planning to go out to vote that you know where you're voting, because it might not be the place that you're used to going to vote.
Yeah, that card sitting there on the desk at the house, man. I got my card, my adjusted card. All right. Speaking of 1-800-GOT-JUNK, that's my buddy Trey. I've talked about this over the years, that his job is pretty simple. Well, your job is simple to identify the junk. His job a little bit more complex because he's got to figure out where to take your junk, but that's okay. That's his job. It could be stuff inside your house, outside your house, stuff you physically can't move. They can go in and get that as well. It could be big stuff, too. We've talked about a lot of trampolines.
Yeah.
A lot of trampolines. I guess people worried about them flying through the air during the next tornado, because we see that, you know, those big trampolines doing that. Or for whatever reason, maybe your children are in their 40s and it's not time for trampolining. Hey, big stuff like that. Swing sets, storage sheds outside, they can do that at your office. They can clean out house you're getting ready to sell. They can clean that out as well, and they can get it done with a quickness. They'll make an actual appointment with you, specific day and time. They show up. They quote your price. If you say yes, they get it done. So check them out. The people we use, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
You know, a lot of places have been in lockdown over these last months, and thankfully the economies for many states opened back up, and of course now we're seeing the rise in coronavirus cases and possibly more places going back to those lockdowns. But you know, I love a good survey, especially when that survey deals in alcohol. And there's a survey that came out here recently. Now, it was from the American Addiction Centers that did this survey, but they conducted a survey of 3,200 adults that were over the age of 21 and asked them how much of lockdown they have spent drunk. 11 weeks of lockdown.
Well, how can you trust them if they're drunk to remember that?
That's a good question, but they based it on the first 11 weeks of lockdown, which I think many states had at least 11 weeks where they were it's safer at home or at least safer apart. But for the state of Alabama, the average came in at 132 hours drunk in lockdown.
Well, what?
132 hours of 11 weeks. They said the average Alabamian spent 132 hours drunk in lockdown. I'm not sure, sometimes there's really scientific surveys and sometimes they have these where they ask 3,200 people across the nation and then
listen here. I'm trying to stop
it. So 132 hours for Alabamians, they said, spent drunk in lockdown. When you go down to Georgia, that rises to 261. For Colorado, which has many different forms
of intoxicants.
Intoxicants or inebriation. Their number is all the way up at 337. I think Coloradoans have been the drunkest of anybody.
330s. Wow.
Yeah. Mississippi, their number comes in at 234, which is pretty high. And Louisiana, who remember when LSU has away games, they drink the stadiums out of booze.
Yes.
Must just be during football season for LSU fans because Louisiana's number comes in at only 74.
Blah.
And then Kentucky, the home of bourbon. Their number sits all the way down at 50.
Liars.
So that's a new alcohol survey out there for you.
You know, I noticed during shutdown for a lot of folks, it didn't affect us because, we've been steady the whole time. But watching this, people, and I know there's probably people that are in between somewhere, but I watched people break two different ways on this. If they had shutdown, had to stay at home, there's some people that just became like, the ne'er-do-well college version of, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
Sitting around in a pair of sweatpants and shorts all day, just binging TV, drinking, overeating, all those things. And then there was another group of people that said, holy cow, look at this time I've been given that I don't have to, it's different than my normal schedule. It's not just the work part, because some people were furloughed from work or some people telecommuted, but they got that done more quickly. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
The people's work day, they could get their work done more quickly. I think there's a tell there.
And that was at least initially. Once you're at home for a long time working by yourself, I think they found that the stats showed the productivity kind of went down a little bit after that.
I think that is because what I'm saying. There are some people that just were going to just try to burn through the day, just, killing time, right?
Yeah.
And then there were others, though, that were given, and not just the work, but, and my family, I noticed it. My work schedule didn't change, but my children's activities, all the stuff that they do, and then family activities associated with going and seeing your child do X, Y, or Z, all these things, those went away. And I think for a lot of people, they use that to do things. There's some really cool things that people have done, whether it's just projects around your house, doing things like that, or new hobbies people have started, or building things, or there's a certain amount of creative energy in people that if it's not at their workplace, I saw during this that people took it somewhere else. Maybe it's something they always wanted to do. Maybe they picked up something new as a hobby or created things, artwork, all kinds of some projects. Just impressed. I think there's a certain amount, not with everybody, but with some human, a certain amount of creativity and energy that if it's not put here at work, it's going to shift and go somewhere else.
Yeah, for me, it was a little bit of both during Alabama's lockdown. And I still came to work. I was, we were labeled as essential workers. Yep. I know some would argue for that as far as I go. But I did send sent my family up to Clark County. So after my workday, I was chilling at home alone for the first time since college or right after college. I had a lot of alone time.
Right.
And I did drink maybe a few more beers than I normally do on a weekday, but I wasn't actively trying to get drunk either. Because, getting wasted drunk at home alone is...
It's a sign. Yeah, it's not a good sign either.
It's a little weird. But I also did, got to work on my golf swing, read some more books, stuff like that, which was great. But not everyone overlooked this, but a lot of people overlooked these stay-at-home orders and what it does to the mental health of people, and especially people that are already fighting addiction or fighting depression.
No, I mean, I had that first... I'm going to wait for a little more in the story, but overdose deaths have gone way up in the country.
And domestic violence. You know, there's a lot of things that go into shutting down the economy. It means a lot, not just for the disease, but for people that are fighting other diseases out there as well. But I thought that was an interesting survey because there have been a whole lot of surveys about alcohol out there and how alcohol consumption has changed since everything has changed here in America. I just thought that was interesting. Alabamians averaging 132 drunk hours over the first 11 weeks of the lockdown.
But I don't believe it because Louisiana is what?
72.
It's a bunch of lying going on
there. It looks like South Dakota and New Mexico have the highest averages here. South Dakota, 468 hours drunk.
Well, people, fill in your South Dakota joke right there. Hey, and speaking of out west, we're going to delve back into this in the midday show. I think it really is interesting, this Supreme Court ruling yesterday, that if you don't think this is big, I mean, think of Supreme Court, and it's because of a nuance of prosecution of crimes, but in this, the Supreme Court ruled that about half of the state of Oklahoma is not the state of Oklahoma, it's within Native American reservation, which, let me point out the connection to this story, this national story, it's Muskogee, it's the Creek Indians, which, of course, the Creeks came from right here in the southeast. So that nation, they were moved to Oklahoma. Now, according to the Supreme Court decision, at least, and they were ruling specifically for federal criminal law and prosecution, but the outcome of this is they're saying, like, Tulsa, the whole eastern half of Oklahoma is actually reservation and not Oklahoma. How do you navigate that one?
Oof.
We'll talk about that more coming up. A Mike Gallagher Show on the way next.